Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The Bible says, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this verse, Lord. Thank you for the theme phrase that we've pulled from this verse. I pray, Lord, that it will begin a process in our lives tonight to give us reminders, to touch us, to change us, Lord. And as we go through another year, Lord, we ask, please, for your help. And we ask, dear God, for your blessing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, we are warned about being presumptuous in James chapter 5. And we understand, Lord, that anything and everything we plan ahead and we intend to do needs to always be followed with Lord willing. And dear God, we ask that you would help us as we go forward. And Lord, that you would bless those things, dear God, that you've led the preacher to lead the church to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I began to look and pray towards a theme for the year several months ago. And I'll always look around to see what other ministries and other churches are doing. I don't have to look very hard because a lot of them mailed their stuff to the church. And I began to see the idea that everyone was picking up on the 2020 thing. And so most of the themes had something to do with a vision. One church had as a theme, 2020, catch the vision. The other one said, get a vision. And some of them just had the word vision. And so since so many of them were going that way, I've always been kind of the person where I hate to just do the obvious. And what I began to do was think about that idea, though, and say, Lord, you know, what do you want us to see this year? What do we need to see? What do we need to see more clearly? And so I looked up the word vision, and I, on my concordance, on my computer, and I began to just read all of the verses about a vision. And then I looked at the word sight and see and began to read that. And as I read these verses, many things the Lord spoke to my heart about. But when I came to Hebrews chapter 13, and I read this, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, I've been asking the question as I had been reading these verses, Lord, what do you want us to see? And I had the Lord turn that whole thing around in my heart and said, maybe you ought to be more concerned about what I see. And so I began to think about that. You know, I think the Lord wants us to have a vision. He needs us to see some things. But maybe the thing we need to see before we see anything else is we need to do what this little girl's doing in the picture and get a pair of binoculars and see and be reminded that there is a God who is seeing what we do. Amen. And that everything that we do in 2020 ought to be well-pleasing in his sight, well-pleasing in his sight. Well, I went to the computer, and I have Rebecca Lowen, and I want to thank her again. She designs most of the things that we have, the tracks and the different things that we produce. She does almost all of our graphic design and does an amazing job. She always likes me to give her some kind of an idea, so I go to some of the photo programs, and I look, and I shot her this picture, and I said, I don't know if we can use this exact picture, but maybe something like it. I want something that conveys the idea that we're looking to God, recognizing that he also is looking to us. I sent this picture, this little girl, and one of the reasons I thought we probably couldn't use it was that, and she wasn't grossly and modestly dressed. I mean, she's a little girl, but she had a sundress on, and it wasn't quite as modest as I would want on something that represents Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And then Rebecca sends this template back to me, mocked up and with everything on it, and all of a sudden, I notice she no longer has a sundress on. She has the same dress, same color dress, but all of a sudden now it has sleeves and shoulders. And so I emailed her back and said, where did you get this picture? Oh, I adjusted the picture. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't even understand this stuff. I'll be honest with you. Some of you maybe do. You know, I'm the self-proclaimed, self-confessed tech-tard, and so, you know, I don't know how all of this magic happens. But I told her, I'm not sure what you did, but everybody says that they can produce apps, and I'm not even sure what that is, but I said, if you can create an app that I put on my phone, that I just, anytime there's a lady not dressed appropriately, I could just point my phone to her, hit that button, and the same thing would happen to her. I would buy that no matter how much it cost. And so I guess she's working on that now. She's working on that. But yeah, the wonders of modern technology, and I said, you know what, that's what I want to do. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I kind of like we did with the theme from last year, I don't have it dominate every service and every Sunday. But I love the fact that we were able to go into last year asking God to help us to experience the transforming power of Christ and to see that in the lives of other people. And I preached many Sunday mornings, probably about 12, 15 different Sunday mornings, on someone in the Bible that was transformed. Well, as I began to study this idea of well-pleasing in his sight, and I began to chase down. By the way, if you want to find out something, you want to see how much God has to say about this, just go home, those of you that have a Bible on your, a concordance on your computer, or just if you have a concordance, look up the little phrase there, in the sight of the Lord. And you know what you'll find? Dozens of scriptures all throughout the Bible. I think God wants us to remember something. That you know what? God is watching. And everything that we do is done in his sight. And it ought to be the heart of every Christian to want to do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. And so I love this little phrase. I kept going to other scriptures and God kept drawing me back. I come up with other ideas and God kept drawing me back. And so we're going to take that on as our theme this year, well-pleasing in his sight, and with this thought, viewing your life through the eyes of God. And so we have produced for you a church calendar, and I'm going to just kind of, I won't go through everything, but maybe hit some of the highlights, some of the things that we're going to be doing that I'd like you to begin to pray about. And I'm going to talk to you about how to use the calendar just a little bit. But of course, in January, we have Vision Night tonight. Thank you for those that have already participated in our abortion awareness project out there. It's already causing a stir in the community and getting comments. And I hear so many positive things every January as I go through the stores and shops in the area and people stop me saying, thank you, preacher. Thank you. Thank your church for keeping that in front of us. I've already mentioned the financial planning seminar. And, of course, we're going to continue. You'll see them scattered throughout the year, our after-service fellowship. I want to have those times for our church. You know, fellowship is important for a church, and so you'll see that. Also, the Southern Indiana Youth Rallies, that several of the Independent Fundamental Baptist Churches in Southern Indiana have coordinated, and we'll be hosting the first one. I want to tell you, Brother Gerald Clancy's the one that kind of spearheads this and oversees it. And from the first year that we did it, he came to me and said, I want the very first one every year to be held at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because he said, I just know that the church will do such a good job. It'll set the bar for everybody for the whole rest of the year. And I wanted to say that to our church. And thank you, young people, for working hard and making that something spectacular and special, because it helps all the other churches in a way for us to minister to them. And of course, then over from last year, we have one more Then Came Jesus testimony, Evangelist Chris Dallas, and I mentioned that in our announcements. Be in prayer for him. February, as in I've done every year since I became pastor, is Missions Emphasis Month, and you have the names of the missionaries that will be coming to visit us on those four Sundays. Also, we'll do an after-service fellowship after the last Sunday night with an international cuisine, and so I think it'll be something that will help and be a blessing. And let's let our hearts be stirred concerning worldwide missions. The young people have been so blessed and helped by the Young Fundamentalist Conference. I appreciate Brother Fugit and putting that on in Lexington, so we're going to have them go to that again this year. And then look forward to March 8th, because we're going to launch another year of our Operation Occupation. Now, that starts every March and ends every March, And even though we don't start that on the calendar year, we found out it's just a lot easier to launch a new aggressive soul winning campaign in March going into spring than it is in January going into the teeth of winter. But the Lord's been so good to us, and even the weather that we've enjoyed the last couple weeks, be in prayer for those of us that are finishing up some of our areas, and let's be diligent about doing that. Let's not check out. We're so close to the finish line. Let's jump in. Let's participate. If you signed up for one of those things, stop looking over your shoulder, waiting for the Calvary to come save you, and go out there and get it done. Amen. And so I'll be putting some extra time in. I just about have our second section done, and we'll be finishing that up, Lord willing, either this week or next week. And so let's be busy about that. And again, then we have in March 27th, 28th, married couples, please mark this, our Blessed Hope Baptist Church Couples Retreat. If you haven't gone the last couple of years, then you know what? Sign up and come. If you have been coming, I probably won't have to try to talk you into signing up. You know what a help it's been, a blessing it's been. And we have a lot of fun, folks. I promise you, it's not torture. It's not. And it's fun. It's a good time. And I think that you'll get some real help in that. And then we have some guest preachers you'll see scattered throughout. Not a whole lot this year, but Evangelist Roger Bottrell will be with us April 1st. And then our spring attendance campaign, one of the things you'll see every year is in the spring, we take 4 to 5 weeks and we dedicate ourselves to working extra, working hard to bring visitors, to increase our Sunday school classes, our bus ministry, build our drive-in crowd. And again, let's participate in that process. It'll happen in the spring. It'll happen in the fall. And so let's look forward to that. Be in prayer for our spring revival, April 19th through 22nd. Dr. Sam Davison will be with us, and just one of the premier Prince of Preachers in the country today. And I have such great respect for Brother Davison, and I'm looking forward to him being here. Right after that, ladies, we have something special for you this year. My wife, the last couple of years, have been sneaking down to a ladies' retreat down in Evansville, Indiana, and she thought it would be a good idea if we opened it up to the church. And so she's taken some of the staff ladies a few times, but I'd like for all of the ladies, and by the way, gentlemen, husbands, let's step up and do what needs to be done to make this thing happen for your wife, okay? Because she'll be helped and blessed. And these type of things are a type of real help and revival for our ladies. And so, by the time April comes, I need to send my wife down there to get fixed so she can get right for another year. And then we tend to do real well after that. So there you go. And May 2nd, we'll have our Blessed Hope Baptist School graduation. Looking forward to that. May 10th, of course, Mother's Day. We celebrate that in the morning. And then we take the same Sunday and take the evening service and celebrate the church anniversary. So we'll have Mother's Day / church anniversary Sunday in May. Our summer dates that I'd ask you to begin to pray for, we are and had this scheduled June 5th and 6th. And I'll be opening this up to the men in the church, any men in the church or ladies. If you're a lady and you'd like to be a part of this program and go through the training on this, I wish we didn't have to worry about these things. I wish this wasn't an issue. I wish we didn't have to even, wish we'd go back to a time in America that was unthinkable for any act of violence to be committed in the house of the Lord. But I think those of you especially who've been reminded of that just recently again, sadly again. And so we'll be going through some of that, giving you more information about that. And then, of course, we'll be doing Vacation Bible School in June, Father's Day. And Junior Camp Week, appreciate Brother Castle putting on something local, a day camp that we've been able to participate in. Those are the dates for that. And our teenagers are going to teen camp, the Kite River Revival Campground. I said, Preacher, where is that? Well, that's the old Cedar River Baptist camp that used to be in Iowa. Brother Gomez has. He sold that camp and relocated it to Rochelle, Illinois, bought a beautiful campground, camp facilities. They started last year's the first year having camp there, and I want to send our young people to that camp. And I'm surprised how many of our young people have never been to church camp, but I couldn't really get on them because I haven't planned for them to go to church camp. So we're going to take care of that. You'll be able to go. In August, we'd like to invite you all to our house for a church-wide picnic on August 1st, a Saturday, so put that on your calendar. You notice I've moved Brother Gail Russ to August instead of November, mostly because it always seems like I'm gone the first Sunday in November. And I feel so bad about that, and so I'm changing things up. You know I'm going to get sick this Sunday now, and I probably still won't be here, but we are moving Faith Music Mission Sunday into August because I wanted it to be at a time where I know for sure I would be here, and so we're doing that. All right, four Sunday fall attendance campaign there in September. And again, for those four Sundays, the last three Sundays in September, the first Sunday of October, we'll be giving you more details. The men are begging to go back on a fishing retreat. We're going to go this year. And if you can go, plan ahead and participate in this, and I think you'll find it a wonderful time. This is something that we will start doing every other year after this year, not every year. And so this will be your opportunity to participate if you'd like to. And it'll be 2 years before we do something like that again. I mentioned this morning that I had failed to put the outdoorsman banquet on the calendar. Let me tell you a little bit about this because we are really praying. We've been planning this now already for a year. It's been on the calendar. And we are going to, Lord willing, rent some type of an off-site facility for this. And I think we're going to end up using the National Guard Armory down here. We're checking out some other possibilities. But me and Brother Castle together are kind of planning this, and we want to really use this as an outreach ministry. There's also other independent Fundamental Baptist Church in the area that are cooperating with us in this. But I would like to fill up a large facility full of men that love the outdoors and will come because this is about the outdoors, but need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'll tell you this, of all the men across the country that I could get to come speak at something like this, I don't know if there's a better one than Brother Keith Gomez. He's a man that God has used over and over again to reach other men with the gospel. And so you be praying about that because we're already have put work into this. There's more work that needs to be put into it. We're going to be having some giveaways and some things that will attract people and get them to come. And then we're going to show them our prompt. That'll be a great time for them. Be great. Everybody that comes is going to love it. But it's also going to give us an opportunity to have Brother Gomez tell some hunting stories and share some things about the outdoors. And then he told me he likes to take about 40 minutes, 45 minutes to make everybody in there his hunting buddy. And then he said the last 15 minutes, I want to win my hunting buddies to the Lord. And so you be in prayer. He also agreed to stay over on October 4th. That's our Harvest Sunday, but he will be with us that day and do the preaching on our Harvest Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so I want to let you know, or Sunday afternoon, I want to let you know about that. And then the Fall Revival, we're going to bring a father-son team to come and preach our Fall Revival. Pastor Mike Poole pastors up in Highland, Indiana. His son, Pastor Josh Poole, is over here in Greenwood. And we're asking both of these men to come and preach our Fall Revival. Brother Josh will be kicking it off on Sunday night. And then him and his dad, Pastor Mike and Brother Josh, will be preaching on Monday night and Tuesday night. And then Brother Mike Poole will be finishing by himself on Wednesday night. And I thought, what a neat thing. I was at a pastor's fellowship recently, and I've known these two men for some time and have admired them. And such good, solid men. And I thought, what a neat thing. I was sitting out there, and I thought, what a neat thing if we could get a father-son team to come preach a revival. And so they agreed to do it. We got it on the calendar, and there it is. The rest of the year, our Thanksgiving Eve service, and then our normal December events, our Christmas banquet, which will go back to the first Saturday. I put down Sunday, first Saturday there of December. So that's a typo there. But our Sword Sunday then on the 13th and our Cantata on the 20th. And we'll clock out, Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come back, another year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So those are the main events. I want to talk to you just a minute about the calendar. Preacher, how do I use it? Well, I would incorporate the church calendar now that you have the dates. I encourage you to immediately go ahead and incorporate these things on your personal calendar. I believe in the use of a calendar. I believe in the importance of using a calendar. And as you begin to plan other things that come up during the year. If this is already on your calendar, you won't mistakenly plan some family event or trip over the top of it. Brother Levi Hall was mentioned this to me, and he said, "Preacher, I picked up a church calendar," and he said, "me and my wife was looking at it, and she said to me that the pastor, he doesn't overplan things. He gives us times as families." And then he said this, "I remember you said, because I don't overplan and overburden you with things, the things I do plan, please be there. Please be there, folks. Make these things important." What do you do with your church calendar? Well, or your calendar, your personal calendar? Well, the first thing I do is put the Lord first. I think before you put anything on a calendar for next year, 2020, not one thing ought to go out on there until you put the Lord first. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, you ought to schedule in services at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe every person in here, sometime during every week, ought to plan some type of visitation or soul winning or involvement in some type of outreach ministry. And then you go ahead and put in the other dates throughout the year into your calendar, and that way everything else you're about to plan for the rest of the year, those things are already there. Second thing I put on my calendar is my family stuff. And you know what? Make sure that you make and keep family a big deal in your life. Birthdays and anniversaries, and plan some things and do some things together. I think it'd be great if every family about once a month would just plan a special family activity. Take a half day, take an evening, and do some things together. Some of our families do family night once a week, where they do game night kind of and have a special night, and the kids look forward to it. But I'm all for doing anything that's strengthening families and pulling mom and dad and the kids together, and so do that. And then I mentioned this, it's important that I think you go ahead and work with your wife, work with your husband, and plan what I call your normal week. There's some things that have to be done every single week of 2020, pretty much every single week. You have a job. You have a job schedule. Ladies, you have certain tasks that have to be accomplished. And I believe on doing those things in a planned, organized way. You work with each other. Get your family into a flow. Get your family into a schedule. Get things done. Plan that date night or date breakfast, as we do, or some time where your wife and you have time together. And then plan that normal week as much as you can, a normal week. I tell people there's 40, you'll get about 40 normal weeks in a year, and 12 weeks that are just, you know, what they are, you know, holidays and vacation and VBS and revival week and some things that just kind of throw you off your schedule, but let it throw you off your schedule. It's good every once in a while to just be flexible and do something extra for the Lord or extra for your family or enjoy the holidays a little bit, but then get right back into your normal schedule. And then everything else, preacher, what about all the stuff that we can't plan that just comes up? That you put those on a to-do list. And you ought to always have a to-do list that, you know, you're going to have some things that's not a weekly thing, but something that comes up, needs your attention, needs to be accomplished, needs to be done. And then you put that on there, and you work on the to-do list in the gaps and unscheduled times during the week, and you just do the best you can and ask God every morning as you get up, "Give me the strength and wisdom to get through this day and keep a happy spirit about it." I think, you know what, I've said this, if you got to do something, you might as well have a good time doing it. And so just plan to have a good spirit about it. Don't begrudge what your responsibilities are and your duties are. Just be happy and glad and jump in and do them. And to be conscious of each other. Husbands, fathers, watch over your family. Watch over your family. Take good care of your wife. Watch over her. Wives, you watch over your husband. Take good care of them. Let's let children come on. Be a blessing to mom and dad this year. And mom and dad, let's make sure the kids are well and taken care of and check on them and sit down and have those times and have those talks. And let's just watch over each other, because we do have an adversary, a roaring lion that walks around seeking whom he may devour. And so let's just ask the Lord to bless another year. It won't take a long time tonight, but if you're there still in Hebrews chapter 13, I want to just point out some basic things that are found in this portion of Scripture with the idea of living a life that is well-pleasing in His sight. Well-pleasing in His sight. As I looked at verse number 20 and verse number 21, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. First thing I wrote down was this: if I'm going to live a life that's well-pleasing in God's sight, first thing I need to do is make sure I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. This phrase is surrounded with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 20, we're reminded that he's the resurrected one. We're also reminded that he's the great shepherd of the sheep. We're reminded that he shed his blood so he could offer to us an everlasting covenant, an everlasting contract. And then we see in verse 21 that God works through Christ to produce in us what is well-pleasing in his sight. Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep Jesus number one. Make Jesus your best friend. Stay in love with Jesus. Realize if you're going to live a life that is well-pleasing in God's sight, you have to keep Christ in a preeminent position in your life, in your heart, in your family, in our church. Let's make everything about him. So first of all, I wanted to mention, I thought it was so wonderful how many times Jesus is mentioned in these two verses. Number two, if I'm going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, I need to understand this: I'm always in his sight. Well, that's something to just settle and will help you all through the year. Psalms 139 teaches this: whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and night are both alike to thee. Psalms 11:4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all, A-L-L, all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Jeremiah 7:11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. I love Hebrews 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let me tell you a truth that will absolutely revolutionize your life. Many Christians know it here. I'm not sure they really believe it here. But that's this: the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. We are always in his sight, always in his sight. Now that ought to do something in our hearts. Jonah said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jumped on a ship and said he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Guess what he found out? There's nowhere you can go where there's not, God hasn't already been, and he's there waiting for you. He even found out that God could find him in the belly of a whale. And so, you know, why don't we just understand that and be glad of it? You know, I don't think that's a negative thing. I think it'll be a very exciting thing, very positive thing for a Christian. I'm glad that in 2020, I will not have to spend one second of my life outside of the sight of God. And so let's live, understand that, embrace it, and live in such a way that we would do the things that are well-pleasing in his sight. And then I wrote this down. Number three, if I'm going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, then I need God to work in me. Now, this may be the focus, the main point for tonight. Notice, if you will, the verse in verse 20 and verse number 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So now the God of peace, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So who's going to make us perfect or mature in every good work to do his will? The God of peace. make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. I love that. That blessed my heart this afternoon. I went back through and looked at some of the verses in the Bible where it talks about God working in us. And so what's he trying to work in us? He's trying to work in each of us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Now, listen, here's an impossible task. Here's an impossible goal. We want to try to spend 2020 living every moment of every day doing those things which are well-pleasing in his sight. I don't know about you, but that's beyond Jerry Ross and my own power. And it's beyond each and every one of us without God's help. What I need is for God to be continually working in me in 2020 so that he will bring about good works and help me to live within God's will and perform God's will and to do those things that are pleasing, well-pleasing in his sight. Now, that little word make there, look at verse 21, that little word make. Make you perfect. That word, boy, it was an interesting word. I looked back and did a little word study on it, word history. It means to complete thoroughly, to complete thoroughly. You know, ever since I got saved as a five-year-old little boy, God has been trying to complete me thoroughly. I love this. It doesn't just stop there. It says to repair. Hey, there's times God needs to fix some things in us. To adjust. How about that? Sometimes there's things that just need to be adjusted in us. It means to frame. Well, you know what? When you build an add-on to your house, an extension to your house, you know what you do? One of the first things you do that causes people to drive by and notice something's happening is you start doing the framework. You start building the Lord. I want the Lord to build some extensions into my life, build some new framework into my life so that there's other things that I can grow to do and accomplish. It means to mend, to mature. Watch this, young people, to prepare. And I love this. It also says that it can mean to restore. How about that? And so how in the world can I live, preacher? I know me. And here we've set this impossible goal that in 2020 I want to live every moment of every day. But I know me, preacher. I know I'm going to fail. Well, you know what? We all will fall short. I get that. But we can be a lot more successful than we were the year before if we allow God to continue to do the work that he wants to do in each of our life. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. God, you have to do that for me. You have to work in me. But wait a minute, I've got to be willing to allow him to work in me. And so I love that. I long for 2020 to be a year where you long for God's working in your life. Listen, don't run from this. Ask God to work in you. Lord, do you need to repair some things? Lord, do you need to adjust some things? Lord, do you need to frame some things, to mend some things, to mature some things, to prepare some things, to restore some things? All through the Bible, we see this idea of God having a desire to work in us. He does that through tribulation sometimes. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How about 2 Corinthians 4:17? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look, the kids, you know, get up and sing, God's still working on me. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not just kids. That's every single one of us. How about Ephesians 1:11? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I want him to work those things in me. The Apostle Paul said this, boy, I would to God we could all write this. Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And I don't want God just to work in me. I want him to work in me mightily. You know, I've watched God do that in people's lives, and sometimes it's a private thing and not something that you see a lot of the outward results of, but there's times where you just see that God, I mean, you can see it from the outside looking in. God's just working on somebody and changing them and transforming them and helping them, and they're taking things to a new level. And I'm proud of all of our Bible college students. I didn't get a lot of time. I never feel like I have enough time to spend with them. They come in, they visit. I catch them for a few minutes. They're gone again. Busy time of life. Me and my wife is going to spend some time. We got to figure it out sometime, either in January 1st or February. We're going to sneak down to Bible college and go down there and visit with them and take a day and spoil them, take them out to eat a little bit, and just try to encourage them. Hey, pray for Bible college students, our Bible college students. January and February, I can tell you something. Listen, I spent almost a third of my life in Bible college, so I think speak with some authority on this, okay? But January and February are two of the hardest months for Bible college students, and so let's be praying for them. But I got a chance, just a little bit of chance, to talk to Lucas and catch up with him. And I'm going to tell you something. What God is doing in that young man's life just bubbles out of him. And it's true of Dalton, and it's true of Amelia. But I just noticed that Dalton, I had him get up in our young adult class. Hey, just come up and share some things that God's doing in your life at Bible college. And you know what? It's visible that God is doing some things and helping him and changing him. But wait a minute. He was willing to follow God's will and put himself in a place where he could get this intense time of training. Now listen, young people, don't just close that off in your mind. Okay, parents, don't become anti-Bible college. Good night. Go get an MRI. See if you still got a brain. Stop deciding that it's a mark of spirituality to be against things that help our young people and solidify things in their life and help them ramp up their spiritual growth in a way, in a time of their life where they desperately need it. I've watched the kids who've listened to their preacher. I've also watched what happens to kids who could have and should have listened to their pastor and graduated from school and went and spent a year in Bible college. But you know what? They were smarter than the preacher. Isn't it funny? Where are they at tonight? I'm still looking for where are they at. What are they doing to glorify God? How is their life honoring the Lord Jesus Christ? Just sometimes you ought to just say to yourself, you know what? God gave us a pastor, and you know what? God gives him a lot of wisdom, and maybe we ought to just listen to him a little bit. Amen. And so, but you know, it's not just that. It's watching new converts. I mean, I'll tell you, Ashley's been fun. You pray for Ashley. And you know what? She comes in, bless her heart. You can tell her life hasn't always been good, and she's fighting some things, and she's carrying some baggage. But I'm going to tell you, something happened in her life 4 weeks ago that's transformed her from the inside. And you know what? I didn't have to go chase her down and say, hey, what about baptism? She came and found me and started talking to me about getting baptized. And I thought she was going to go Pentecostal on us this morning after she got baptized, which wouldn't hurt to shake up Blessed Hope Baptist Church a little bit every once in a while. Anyway, hey, you know what? Maybe it'd be good for some of us. Come on, old mossy back Baptists that have gotten used to being saved to get a little bit of that new convert excitement about salvation again. I think that's good for us every once in a while. But folks, and I watch it. I watch it in our young people. And I watch it different ones where all of a sudden this clicks and this light comes on and this kid gets excited about this and this kid gets involved in this. And folks, it just shouldn't be the young people. I want God to work in Jerry Ross. I don't want to be sitting on the sideline watching God take everybody else to new places and new levels. And here I am stuck in a rut, like I said this morning. A rut's a grave with two ends wallowed out, just where I've always been, same place I was. This time last year, plan on being the same place I am next year at this time. Have no aspirations, no desire for God to do any more in my life. You know what? Good night. Good night. Let me say it. Shame on you. No, you need a preacher sometime. Look at you and say, shame on you that you've just checked out on Jesus. Shame on you that you're so proud you think you've arrived and God doesn't need to do anything else in your life. Shame on you. And so let's ask God to work in us mightily and to do those things, help remake us so that we're better able to do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. Number four, I wrote down this. If I'm going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, I need to understand that my life is to bring glory to God. Did you read the last part of verse 21? It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. We can't do it by ourselves. To whom be glory forever and ever. It's a great moment in your life when you realize that the purpose of your life is to bring glory and honor to God more than any other thing. How do I do this? Well, it mentioned how in the verse, earlier in the verse, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And so you bring glory to God when you're willing to fulfill every good work that the Holy Spirit of God directs you to do. And when you live your life performing the will of God, that makes what you're doing well-pleasing in God's sight. Number five in our last one, if I'm going to be well-pleasing in God's sight, I need to learn to view my life through God's eyes. I need to learn to view my life through God's eyes. We have a generation, and let me just say this, technology has not been our friend, and it's hurt our younger generation. I understand and can appreciate some of the value that comes with it, but I promise you it's hurt a lot of our generation. Young people now are so worried about, I mean, their whole life is about likes. Their whole life is about likes. They're constantly going to their peers and to their friends and their circle of the people and companions that they're with, and they post this and they post this and they post this, and then they live or die to see how many people liked it. Someone told me this the other day, and I just feel like, you know, we've lost biblical masculinity. Young men just can't make a decision on their own. We've got a generation. There's this one young man that had to get glasses. So he went to the place, got his eye exam, then went in and tried on four or five or six different pairs of glasses, took a selfie, and then posted all of these so that he could have all of his friends decide which pair of glasses he should buy. And I said to myself, you can't go in and buy glasses on your own. You have to have affirmation from everybody before you can make a decision on what kind of glasses you're going to wear. You know, but it's crazy. It's not just glasses, folks. Can I try to get us completely rewired in our thinking in 2020 for those of us that need it done? And that's this. There's only one like you ought to be worried about. When you begin to live your life and every decision of your life and what you will do or what you won't do is based on what is the opinion of the general population, you're in trouble. Because you're spending your life trying to please men and not concerned about who you ought to be pleasing. And so it's a wonderful thing. Listen, this is what we're going to look at this year. Viewing my life through the eyes of God. Can we continue becoming a church in 2020? Can we continue becoming a church that ceases to be controlled by what the world thinks and be focused on one thing and one thing alone? What does God see, and is it well-pleasing in his sight? Not just as a church, but can you as an individual Christian? Can I help you? Could you cease to be worried about everyone's opinion and everyone's point of view? And could you focus totally on one thing in 2020 and one thing alone? What does God see, and is it well-pleasing in his sight? We'll do some preaching and teaching on this idea of learning to view our lives through God's eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful verse, and thank you for this theme that I believe you've directed me to as a pastor. And Lord, we won't spend every Sunday and every Wednesday on just one truth. We want to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. But Lord, I think it's a worthy theme. I think it's worth some Sundays. I think it's worth some Bible study time. I think it's worth some Sunday school class time. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. In a world that just seems like it's so captivated and captured and controlled by peer pressure, Lord, may each and every one of us know the freedom and yet also the responsibility of choosing to live our life focused on one main thing. What does God see? And is it well-pleasing in his sight? And Lord, if that's true, may that be enough in our life. Lord, if the whole world condemns us, but you look down and smile upon us, that ought to be enough for us. So Lord, as we go about tomorrow, may we take this opening message and these key verses, and may we, with the help of your Holy Spirit, God working in us, please, may we begin to carry out the initiative, the plan, the theme in our individuals' lives, Lord. Lord, direct us and help us. And thank you Thank you that there's no place we can go where we're not in your sight. May we want to live a life that's well-pleasing. We pray these things in Jesus' name.